In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the role of the priest in the divine will, and we prayed the prayer of Archbishop Adazi last week, but I'd like to pray it again. This is the bishop who basically made Luisa a servant of God. And it's, O merciful heart of my Jesus, who for the salvation and sanctification of many souls have deigned to keep for numerous years on earth your humble servant, Luisa Picaretta, your little daughter of the divine will. Grant my prayer that she be glorified soon by your holy church. And through her intercession, may you grant me the grace that I humbly ask of you through Christ our Lord. And he prayed it, our Father, Hail Mary, and a glory be. The Archbishop granted permission on November 27th, 1948, to print the prayer cards of Luisa with a relic, giving her the title Servant of God, and praying for her beatification with a dedicated prayer under his episcopacy. On July 3rd, 1963, Luisa's remains were definitively laid to rest in the Church of St. Maria Greca. This is where, I think it was 2 years ago on her birthday, April 23rd, they brought her to the high altar in the front of the church, not the main altar, but right to the side. Each step is like, the Lord is really pleased. He's really pleased with this. So Luisa's own Archbishop Adazi speaks well of her and supports the cause of her rehabilitation with the church. Now, what had happened was in 1930, I think it was 38, some priests who did not like Luisa confiscated her writings. They took them to the Vatican to be placed in the secret archives where they would never be seen again. And this is how God works. Here it's, this seems like a horrible thing, but it was 1967, I'm pretty sure, when Pope Paul VI got rid of the index. Two books that were condemned, The Passion of the Christ and The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, but they weren't her writings. This was the writings of her pastor, Father Calvi. He literally crossed out pages that Jesus dictated to Luisa and said, she meant this, and she'd cross out other pages. She meant that, and the church read what he changed and said, this is not of God. This is heresy. So they said this to Luisa. She said, and Luisa says, well, I condemn them too, because these are not the words of Jesus. So what we have is we have the evil one. See, the evil one knows what's coming. He's a good guesser, and his time on earth is shortened. And he knew with Luisa, everything's going to change. He saw this light in Luisa, this light that reflected the true light of Jesus, the true light of Mary. And so finally, the remains were brought in on the Feast of St. Thomas, 1963, in the Church of St. Maria de Greca. Just so that you know, the town was built like a fortress, okay? And the one tower, there was 12 towers around the town. The one tower was dedicated to Our Lady of the Greek, And because this is an area where the remains, 45 minutes away from Corrado, is the remains of St. Nicholas was buried. When the Muslims came in, they destroyed all that was Catholic, all that was Christian, and they were destroying all the tombs of the saints. That's when the church, the Orthodox Church, brought the remains to Bari. That was one of the things that Francis did. He brought the remains back to Russia. So still, when you go down to Bari, there's the Church of St. Nicholas. It's half Orthodox, half Catholic, and great crowds of people are there. It's a really, when you get to Corrado, go down to the Church of St. Nicholas. So Luisa's own Archbishop speaks well of Luisa and supports her cause for her rehabilitation. And that the rehabilitation was done by Cardinal Ratzinger when Luisa's confessor, St. Honorable de Francia, was beatified. That was October 7th, 1990. That's when a good friend, Jose Luis Acuna, went to Cardinal Ratzinger with a letter from his archbishop from Mexico City and said, how can this man be canonized when he put his nihil absta on writings that were condemned? How can he become a saint? You know, this is when Cardinal Ratzinger investigated and then at the end just said, all the writings of Luisa should be published. And because he saw there was nothing wrong and the whole story came out was Luisa was sabotaged. The evil one did not want these writings to come out. So they hid him in the secret archives, never to be seen. What happened was 58 years later, these writings were given out. And Jesus says, when these writings come out, he said this to Luisa, the face of the earth will change. And you're going to hear this in what the archbishops are saying. So he promotes her cause for canonization and urges the full rehabilitation of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. He had no chance to get to know Luisa personally. Nevertheless, the fact that she was a lay Dominican was undoubtedly a factor in her favor. So was he. So this helped the archbishop. See, yes, God has everything planned. Our God is so amazing. He's got you're going to look back on your life and everything in your life was planned, things that maybe didn't even cooperate with, but the Lord was leading you, guiding you, directing you. And this is what he's doing with the archbishop. You can see it very clearly. To begin with, he tries to have Luisa's mortal remains transferred from the cemetery to the church of St. Mary the Greek. In this letter of September 21st, 1950, addressed to the appropriate local authorities, he summarizes the reasons why such a transfer is practically an act of duty to the citizens of Corrado. To meet the pious wishes of the people of Corrado, now this is another thing. The church always asks, what do the people say? What do the people want? So right now we're looking for Our Lady of America to be known and processed. And the church selects, what do the people want? What do the people know about the Our Lady of America? What do they long for? Even the Sister Mary Ephraim, even knowing her, the voice of Our Lady of America. The more you get to know Sister Mary Ephraim, I'll tell you, I think she's the key to all of this. The more you get to know Sister Mary Ephraim and her life, her struggles, her painful situations, you can see that God has chosen this one, this Sister Mary Ephraim, to bring it about. Now, the reason I talk about Our Lady of America is because of one of the apparitions, Our Lady appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim as Our Lady, the divine indwelling. And this to me it's clear that God is getting us ready for this divine indwelling of the Holy Trinity in each and every one of us. So he says to meet the pious wishes of the people of Corrado. So we don't give up on anything. You know, if in your prayers, you know, for your family, you never give up on your family. You never give up on what the Lord is asking you to do. It's always a good and holy thing to continue to pray with confidence, with trust. Under our jurisdiction, and while waiting for the Holy Roman Church decision concerning the recognition of the heroic virtues and holiness in the life of Luisa Picaretta. See, this is the thing that the church looks at, and this is what the church is looking at right now, her heroic virtues and the holiness of her life. And when you read the Book of Heaven, there's no other conclusion that you can come to about Luisa. She was so extraordinary. She was so amazing. Luisa Picaretta of the Third Order of St. Dominic, after having reflected deeply in the opportunity to carry out this plan and through our archdiocesan commission administration, we have issued a decree that authorizes, this is 1950, the transfer of the remains of the above mentioned Luisa Picaretta from the town cemetery to the parish church of St. Mary the Greek, and there she will be interned. We have been compelled to consider this resolution for the following reasons. Okay, so now here are the following reasons, and this is 1950. The servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, was born of pious parents in Corrado on April 23rd, 1865, showing extraordinary signs of holiness even as a young girl. Infirm from the age of 18, she spent 62 years in bed with continual sufferings that were always endured with heroic Christian strength. See, the sufferings that she went through, the sufferings that all her spiritual directors saw her go through, she was always peaceful. She was always joy-filled. This is the heroic Christian strength that she went through. In the complete conformity to the divine will and the steady practice of the greatest Christian virtues. So one of the things that people saw is here she is in bed, not eating, drinking, or sleeping for so many years. And she was tired and she was hungry and she was thirsty, but she was obedient to Christ. This is what Christ wanted for her sufferings. And then it says, from her bed of pain, she died and was always generous with advice and comfort for all those who turned to her. And the number of priests, the number of bishops, the number of cardinals that went to see her was extraordinary. They were always filled with a pious and a holy understanding of their situation. So it says right here, priests and prelates were left in awe by the things Luisa said, so full of heavenly wisdom and supernatural unction. To our knowledge, and this is the Archbishop saying this, many of our venerable predecessors, the archbishops, admired Luisa Picaretta's spirit as they were generous with granting her concessions and favors to the point of obtaining a rare indult from the Holy See for the daily celebration of the Mass in her bedroom. I had the opportunity of saying Mass in her bedroom, I think 7 times. It was an awe to be in her room saying Mass, again, given permission by Pope Leo XIII and then followed by Pope St. Pius X. So it says, Luisa Picaretta died devoutly on March 4th, 1947, and her funeral was a triumph. And again, I talked to the sisters who helped carry her coffin, and they said they were, each nun had the honor of carrying her body. Now, you have to remember, when she died, her heart stopped beating, her breath, she stopped breathing, her heart stopped beating, her breath stopped breathing, and yet there was no rigor mortis. And when you look at her pictures in the coffin, they had a glass coffin so you could see her as she was transported through the city. Her head's going back and forth. There was no rigor mortis in her body. Her eyes were not dilated. Her eyes were normal. And the doctors could hear for 4 days the blood pumping through her body without her heart. The blood was circulating through her body without the heart. Then the doctors came to the conclusion after the fourth day that she was dead. Now, we just celebrated the Mass where Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days, and they said, don't open the tomb. It's going to smell pretty bad. And yet here's Luisa without a heartbeat, without a breath. And they said the odor of sanctity was there with Luisa. So the people acclaimed Luisa La Santa, Luisa the Saint. And Father Bucci tells us that Luisa is going to be known in the church as the saint of the divine will. The fame of holiness of Luisa Picaretta had not diminished over time. It's just the opposite. Her holiness grew each day, and many people of Corrado still go to pray at her tomb. Now, this is 1950. For above given reasons, we do not hesitate in presenting our decision to the proper government authorities, expressing the desire that soon, when all the formalities of the law are fulfilled, the mortal remains of Luisa can be given greater honor in the Church of St. Mary the Greek. So here, you know, everybody knew she was a saint. Everybody knew the people that, I mean, she rose people from the dead. Even when St. Honorable de France was dying, in one of his letters, he says, Luisa, ask Jesus to raise me from the dead so I can get my work done of publishing these volumes as you raise that little boy to life. This is something that just shows the power that was in little Luisa. She's astonishing. So unfortunately, even though the request had the support of the mayor, it was rejected by government authorities on the national level because it was not apparent if and what particular recognition the servant of God, Louisa, may have received by the people during her life for her work in offering assistance or charity. So it was the state that said, no, you're not going to do this. Now, you have to understand, the evil one always interferes. And what Jesus says, and this is the glorious thing, the one who's going to reveal who Louisa is, the one who's going to show the world who Louisa is, Jesus says, is himself. He's going to do this. I know we love Louisa and we promote Louisa, but we're not even close to what God is going to do. God is going to show the world who this Louisa Picaretta is. And in the writings, and Louisa didn't want to write anything, but Jesus says you have to. In the writings, it says that when this happens, the earth is going to shake, but it's not going to shake with fear. It's going to shake with praise and glory to God, what God is doing. So listen to this. When the request was finally approved, thanks to submitting to the additional information that had been requested, the transfer was announced publicly, but it hit another roadblock, this time within the church. So again, this is what you have to understand. There's always a roadblock. There always is. And it's nothing to get upset about. It's nothing to be worried about. You just keep on praying with confidence. The Postulator General of the Order of Preachers, Father Picari, who was appointed the Archbishop to verify with the Holy Office the possibility of initiating the cause for sainthood, received a chilling rejection. So he advised Archbishop not even to proceed with the translation of the remains, which will be postponed indefinitely. So here's a punch in the gut. And that's one of the things that we're going to go through. What God is going to bring about is going to wake everybody up. What God is going to bring, this is the illumination of conscience. This is the 3 days of darkness. This is the warning. This is the miracle. All these things are going to happen. How and the way it's going to happen, we have no idea. But what we do know is God is going to bring about a new beginning for all of humanity. And you're going to hear what the archbishops have said. In fact, in June 1961, the archbishop received a letter from the cardinal prefect of the Holy Office requesting information about a certain Louisa, visionary of Corrado. It is not known what was behind the new inquiry, but the archbishop takes it as the perfect opportunity to express his favorable judgment of Louisa. So he appoints Monsignor Oria, who is in the autumn of 1962, will be named vicar general to conduct a thorough diocesan investigation of the servant of God's life. After receiving the report, the archbishop wrote a letter in reply to Cardinal Ottaviani's 1961 passage, okay, with a passage quoted here. I have on my desk a long form drafted by Reverend Monsignor Diorio, priest of Corrado, who, in addition to me being very pious and very prudent, he was spiritual father for many years at the Pontifical Regional Seminary, personally knew Louisa Picaretta, identified by the sacred congregation as the visionary of Corrado. So God gets around these blocks. If somebody wants to stop a river, what will they do? They get a couple dump trucks and dump the stuff in the river and stop it for a little while, and the water goes around it. That's what's happening with Louisa. Nothing's going to stop what God has decreed, Jesus says. No one is going to stop what God has decreed. The first decree was the decree of creation. The second decree was the decree of redemption. And now the third decree has been proclaimed, and that is sanctification. This is what's coming to the earth. So Archbishop Giuseppe Carata, I met him. He was a very gentle priest. He talked about Louisa, that he would always talk about Louisa when he was a seminarian, how they had the writings of Louisa back in, 1918, they had the writings of Louisa, and they were listening to the writings. They were reading the writings. They were on fire with the writings. So he is the co-founder and canonically approved Association Louisa Picaretta, this association is getting bigger and bigger. The person who is in charge now is a saint. She's a wonderful woman who I knew her when she was basically a teenager. You know, she was I met her. She was always bubbly, never thinking that she would be in charge of the Association Luisa Picaretta, the Little Children of the Holy Divine Will. During this is Archbishop Corrado, many years of ministry in this archdiocese, I have seen Luisa loved, crucified, risen. So this is what happens with saints. It happened with all the saints. You look at Padre Pio. He was loved, he was crucified, and he was risen. It's what the saints have to go through. And God does this because he wants them to be like himself. He wants them to show this love, this light of God from each soul. And the only way that that can happen is by being loved, by being crucified and risen from that misery. She goes, I know my days will not end until I see her exalted to the honor of the altar as without any shadow of doubt, she, Luisa, deserves. The theology of her spirituality brings confusion to the intellect. Now, what does that mean? It's not doubts. It's you're in awe. This confusion, if you want to say it, it's you enter into, you're just overwhelmed by an awe of how great our God is. When you read every day, that's what happens. Every day, when you read the Hours of the Passion, when you read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, when you read the Book of Heaven, every day, the praying your rounds, you enter into this awe of God. It's not the word confusion is disruption, but your intellect just becomes overwhelmed of how much our God loves us. The wonder and hope to the simple and now brings a depth of understanding to the Holy Church, which, as I have always held, could very well be the new heavens and the new earth for all the faithful. Here he's quoting the apparitions of Our Lady, the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. This he could see as a young man in the seminary studying Luisa. It's a new beginning for the Holy Church. So there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. And he says, for all the faithful, the praises which I offer do not come from having served as rector of our pontifical seminary for 15 years, but from many years of meditating on our Lord's own prayer, the Our Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here as a young seminarian and then head of the, as he says here, the pontifical seminary for 15 years, his focus was on the Our Father. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I meditate on this. This is where I'm coming from. And what I see in with Luisa, it's really, he says, could very well be the new heavens and the new earth for all of humanity. So be gentle with our Luisa, for Luisa is our pride and joy. Honor the inheritance Luisa has passed on to the world in her writing. So here, they did not have, at this point, volume 20 through volume 36. That's receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. See, this is prophetic. Here he's talking about to receive this inheritance. He's prophesying what he hasn't read yet. See, when you read the volumes, God is getting you ready for everything that he wants to present to you. He's presenting to the church. So pray for her intercession before the Holy Trinity. For your sanctification in God's very own spirit, your sanctification in God's very own spirit. This is prophetic. And that's what's happening to the souls who are reading the Book of Heaven. These writings are so astonishing. For this is the reason why we were created, for the intercession before the Holy Trinity, for our sanctification in God's very own spirit. That going back to Our Lady of America, the indwelling of the triune God, this image that was approved by her spiritual director and archbishop just shows you everything is planned. Everything is ready. All God is looking for is our fiat. Let it be done as you say. And when we say fiat, God says, good, Then he says what he says to Louisa, get out of my way. Let me do what I've planned. So it is a matter of glory. Oh, listen to that. Given and shared, which will shepherd us through eternity. See, the kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And eternity, as Our Lady said, just said to Bruno in 1947 at the Our Lady of Revelation, she says, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. And she says, and enjoy the beatific vision, where the children of Lucifer will be always trapped in time and space, and they will never enjoy the beatific vision. So what's coming is as he says here, it is a glory given and shared, which will shepherd us through eternity. And then listen to what he says. If you only knew what it means not to live in the divine fiat, you would die rather than give life to your own human will. These words, often spoken by our Lord to Louisa, have led me through my own episcopacy. And now that I may rest in my aged reflections, I can see, listen to this, that this is a wine in which I greatly delight. He's tasting this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II has told us we're going to enter into. In November 30th, 1989, the chapel of the Association Luisa Picaretta, the chapel used to be, see, the houses in Corrado, the farmhouse, the animals were kept in the bottom basement, and the heat that they would produce would rise up to the floor and warm the floor. So the chapel, when you walk in and you see this beautiful chapel now, what used to be the farm where the cow was, where the goat was, where the chickens were. And so here on the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, Archbishop Giuseppe Caratta, for the first time, celebrated the Holy Mass in the chapel of the Association. I got to say Mass there numerous times as well. To say Mass in Corrado it's really a treat. What I mean by that is, you know, saying Mass in the Vatican is amazing. Saying Mass at the shrines of Our Lady is amazing. But here you're in the place where, you know, Louisa lived. And this gift that God gave to Louisa is going to change the face of the earth. And so, you know, celebrating Mass there, attending Mass there is just an amazing, amazing time spiritually. Since that day, many hours of spirituality and the Eucharistic days follow one another to feed the Eucharistic life that is the basis of the Christian life. The chapel of the Association Luisa Picaretta is the divine roof of the room where the servant of God, Louisa, lived, and is the first stage for the pilgrims to come from all over the world and for hours of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. So right above that is the room where Louisa lived. This is below, but right above, as you look at the ceiling, that's where Louisa lived. So the homily of Bishop Corrado during the Eucharistic celebration of 1986 was this. This little chapel, in the presence of the Eucharistic Jesus, of the Holy Immaculate Virgin of Louisa the Saint, with all the sacred furnishings today, becomes the heart of your beloved association, Luisa Picaretta. So the central point is Eucharistic adoration for those entering into the Association Luisa Picaretta. It's the heart because there is the Eucharistic Jesus. But upstairs, this is what he has, is another church, another altar that is the bed on which the image of Luisa is placed. So there's a beautiful picture of Louisa on her bed. It is the whole of heaven now that has become a church. The whole of the house has become an altar. See, do you see how everything's going to change? It's not a building anymore. It's the kingdom is being established. And so this is the strength that should support you. that should encourage you to continue. Don't give up. I mean, the evil one wants us to give up. He laughs at us when we give up. It was that easy? It was that easy to stop these people? Don't give up. As the Archbishop is saying, I encourage you to continue. Of course, the difficulties will not fail. There will always be the difficulties because we are on earth. But the Lord has to win. The Lord has to win. The Lord is going to win. The kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. So he says, listen to it, what God is showing him. Truly, this chapel will be for you as Mount Zion, as Tabor, where the Lord is always there to give you consolations and grace. Now, think about that with our own parish, our own chapels that we go into when we genuflect. This chapel will be for you a Mount Zion, a Tabor. The Lord is always there to give you consolations and grace. Here is an archbishop who was greatly touched by the holiness and spirituality of Luisa Picaretta. And he says, but the most holy chapel that we want to remember tonight is Luisa's beatification. Listen to this. He's a prophet. It will be the true church. It is the beginning, a premise, a wish. And as you have been prepared so far and have conquered and overcome many obstacles, so the Lord will give you the grace to see the realization of the other church. That is Luisa's beatification. In her name, I give to you, and now the holy blessing. So he blesses all the people there. Listen to what he says. The holy chapel, to remember that it's what we want is Luisa's beatification. It will be the true church, the beginning, a premise, a wish, as you have been prepared so far and have conquered and overcome many obstacles. So the Lord will give you the grace to see the realization of this other church, that is Luisa's beatification. And in her name, I give you now the holy blessing. So he blesses everybody at the end. So again, this is something that is so amazing. I mean, there's many beautiful places on earth, chapels on earth. There's many beautiful saints on earth, that we honor, who've gone before us. But when you get to know Luisa, something changes. It's almost as if the saints, the angels are telling us, get to know her. There's something extraordinary about Luisa. Get to know her. Listen to the Archbishop. I mean, he learned of Luisa when he was in the seminary in the early 1900s. Listen to what he says. He says, the new church, the glory is coming. He says, another church, another altar, another image. It's just, he's getting ready for this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. And then he said, now, I think this is Father Bucci. Now I want to tell you some memories that were within me. Now I see them in the unified plan of God. When I was 18 or 19 years old, around 1933, 1934, in the seminary where I remained for 35 years, I had as prefect of the dormitory, Father Tatoli, founder and parish priest of the church in Corrado. As the spiritual director, Monsignor Doria, who later became the vicar general of the Diocese of Trani, the rector of the Holy Mother Church in Corrado. And not only in external forms, but also in the privilege and personal conversations spoken of Luisa as a privileged victim soul. So here, Father Bucci is saying, Father Bucci was from Corrado, and here he's saying, I knew these priests who knew Luisa, and their love, their understanding of Luisa helped him. I mean, Father Bucci knew Luisa. I knew well Don Marconi and Don Mitroni, close, who were older than me, but were always together. But what I remember correctly were the inspired words of Monsignor Doria, who remembered Louisa. He evidently had contact with her. So here is the plan of God, who sows and sows. The years pass, and then his plans are revealed. So he says, I've seen these priests. I know these priests who knew Louisa, who loved Louisa. And it's God working, God plowing the fields, you know, producing the fruit. Certainly they too will be together with her in heaven, because they have done so much good, not only to me, but to all seminarians who, when then were 400 in the seminary. These ones then have become priests, and wherever they are in Puglia, they know where Corrado is, and there is Louisa, and they entrusted her praying for her beatification. Now that was written by Sister Assunta. So here Father Bucci was speaking and Sister Assunta was writing. December 15th, now this is Archbishop Camillo Casati. He was my spiritual director's best friend, and I did not know that, who he was. My spiritual father would always say, oh, my friend in the Vatican, he helps me so much. He's so good, because they worked together. My spiritual director worked in the secret archives of the Vatican, never thought I would ever get into the Vatican. I always talked to him about it. And his best friend was Archbishop Casati. And after my spiritual director died, it was about, I'd say 2 years, maybe 2 years after my spiritual director died, I was sitting next to Archbishop Casati, and he's a MSc, Missionary of the Sacred Cur, just like my spiritual director. So I looked at him and said, you're an MSc. I said, did you know Father Travassi? And he goes, he said, basically, they were best friends. And I punched him in the arm. I said, you're his best friends. And he looks at me like, what are you doing? Punching an archbishop. But we became friends after that. And, but what I sensed was, see, Francesco worked in the secret archives, and I would say to him often, you got to go to the secret archives and get me the writings of Louisa. This was way back. And he goes, I promise you, I will do that. I promise you, I'll do that. And then he died. But I really do believe it was through his intercession that I got to go to the secret archives of the Vatican. And as a matter of fact, when I went there in 1990, I flew there in 1990. I flew overnight, and I got there, got into the secret archives, and I went to the desk and I said, I'm here for the writings of Louisa. And they said, they're not here. And I said, no, they're here. I'm here to pick up the writings of Louisa. And they go, they're not here. And I said, oh, they're here. I said, I'm here. And they go, we burnt them. We destroyed them. And I said, no, you didn't. They're here. And he goes, get out. 6 years later, I'm back in the secret archives of the Vatican, this time with the permission of the Archbishop. And the same guy comes to the door, and I look at him. I said, we're here for the writings of Louisa. He goes, oh, come in. Like this, we walk in. He opens up the back door, and there on the table, I just knew they were the books of Louisa. And he walks past them and turns around. And I walked up, and I touched the books. I said, are these the writings of Louisa? He goes, yes. To me, that's the beginning of a new day for all of humanity. Jesus said, when these writings come out, the face of the earth will be transformed. What you see happening worldwide is nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be anxious about or worried about. Everything has to change. The kingdom is coming. How do I know? Because Jesus said to Louisa, to prove that the kingdom is coming is found in these writings. As you read these writings, everything on the earth is going to change. Society is never going to be the same. It can't be the same. The kingdom is coming. And so what our God is trying to get across to us is get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. Get ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And people say to me, well, it's going to be thousands of years. Oh, it's going to be thousands of years before. No, Jesus says to Louisa, to prove that this is coming is the writings. And as these writings have come out, as they're all throughout the world, as a matter of fact, a new letter came out from the Association Louisa Picaretta today. I skimmed through. I didn't read it, but it looks really good. It looks really, really good. Good things are coming. Just keep on praying. Don't give up. Keep on praying and be confident that what God is going to do is we're going to see it. I mean, this is what Archbishop Cassati said. Excuse me, Archbishop Corrado said. He said, I know I'm going to see what is going to happen. I can't find it right now, but I know we're going to see what God has planned. Why? The earth cannot continue to live like this. This is the fastest growing religion is Satanism. God is saying to all of humanity, what do you want? And all of humanity is saying to Jesus, this is what we want. It's either with Jesus and life or not with Jesus and death. It's either the new day or it's the bad day. It's either the heaven or hell. It's either there's a division that's coming. God has to, you know, the weeds and the tares, he's got to separate them. The goats and the sheep, he's got to separate them. And so he's giving everybody the benefit of the doubt. What do you want? And unfortunately, most of humanity is choosing the opposite side, but it's our job to repair. It's our job to redo in the divine will. It's what God has given us is to really bring about the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will to me. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. That's what's coming. God's going to do it, but he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to give our fiat. The incarnation took place because the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God. She said, let it be done as you say. Fiat, fiat mihi. Let it be done to me. I am the slave girl of the Lord. So what Jesus teaches Louisa is to say fiat, to echo Our Lady, the fiat mihi, our Lord, let it be done, not my will, but your will be done. And now as we echo this, the new beginning is very, very close. It's very close. You can almost taste it, what's coming. The new beginning for heaven and earth is here, and God has predestined us to live at this time, I think, to witness what he is going to do. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.